Firstly, let me say what a joy it is for Jenny and I to be back worshipping with you again, and I'm most grateful for David for the privilege of being able to bring the message this morning. And it's really nice to be back on the day that we're celebrating all the things that Dick has done for this congregation as it grew over the early years. So it's a really nice morning. The Bible reading today is a very common parable of the sower of the seed. And here's Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds are so dense he goes out into a boat. And in fact, although the version we read says he talks about a sower, most linguists believe that the word should have been the sower, because he probably saw a farmer in the fields around probably Capernaum and was saying, look, there's the sower, and based the parable on that. And in fact, the fields in those days were organised in long strips, and they had the fertile soil in strips, and between them there were pathways. And over the years, with all the animals and the farmers stamping along those pathways, they really became as hard as concrete. So that's the way that the things were organised. And so when we talk about, when Jesus talks about the seed falling by the wayside, he was talking about falling on those pathways in between the fertile strips of soil. And in fact, what used to happen is the farmer would walk along those pathways and he'd scatter the seeds into the soil. But if there was a bit of wind, some would be taken into all sorts of other areas. There was actually another way they used to sow the seed. If you were a particularly lazy farmer, you used to strap a bag of seed onto a donkey, stick a hole in the bottom, and the donkey would just walk up and down sowing the seed. And that, in fact, lost more seed onto the wayside and so on. So that was the way they did it. And so we have this picture of some of the seed falling on the pathway, some of it falling on rocky ground. Now, it wasn't just stony ground. What they're referring to there is in that part of the world, sometimes the limestone was actually fairly close to the surface, so it would be covered with a fairly thin layer of dirt. And of course, if seed fell onto that, because it was actually warmer than the area around it because of the rock underneath, it used to germinate very quickly, but because it couldn't put down roots, it would fall over. So it would thrive, it would grow more quickly, and then it would just fall over. And then we had the seed that fell onto the thorny ground. And what that referred to is if you hadn't prepared the soil properly, if you just sort of turned it over, all the weed seeds and things were still in the soil. So it looked all right until you decided to sow seed in there, and then the seed would be choked out by all the weeds that could grow up as well and the thorns. So that was the picture that he was painting to these people as he looked out and saw a sower sowing the seed. Now, the interesting thing here is that this parable is really not about a message. It's about how people react to a message. It's actually about the hearer of the message. And you know, the deliverer of the message may have very little to do with how the hearer responds. It's a bit like a comedian who tells a joke. I mean, if a comedian tells a joke, it relies on, you know, whether the people that hear it have a sense of humour. I mean, if I told a joke about the agnostic, dyslexic, insomniac who used to lay awake at night denying the presence of dog, that would either fall on very flat ears if you are not going to get it for an hour or two, or you don't have a sense of humour, or you didn't think it's funny, or it may have been the way I delivered it. But it relies on the hearer, and that's what this was about. And so we have this parable of people who hear the word of God. And the first lot are those that have already put up the shutters. They don't listen at all. They've already got the barrier. They don't want to hear what the church has to say. In the modern era, they're the sort of people that hear all the press about child abuse and so on in the church, and they say, I don't want to have anything to do with that organisation or anything that says. They just completely don't listen to anything that comes out of that sector. It doesn't matter that the church might be doing great things in social welfare and social justice and all the rest of it. They pick the thing that they want to. So there's a certain prejudice they have. There are some people who simply don't want to be exposed to different or new ideas than what they have, so they just don't listen. There are some people who are prejudiced against things and they just have their own view of what church is and they don't want to engage with it. And there are some people that are actually guilty. They know that their lifestyle is not the lifestyle that it should be and they don't want to get anywhere near an organisation that might tell them that. So this is the seed that falls on those concrete hard paths. It doesn't even germinate before the sun bleaches it and destroys it. And then we have the seed that falls on the rocky ground, this ground which has got rock underneath and a very narrow and not very deep layer of topsoil over. And the warmth of the soil, it germinates quickly. These are the sort of people that grab on to the fads of the day, and just as soon they're on to the next one. And, you know, I was with Jenny and I were in New York recently visiting our new grandchild, and just about every street seller was selling the latest craze of the day, which were these sort of, I think they call them fidget spinners. They're little things, you spin them round and they're in all sorts of colours and some of them light up. All they do is just you hold them between your thumb and finger and just spin them. But that's the latest craze, and everyone, when I was at school, you know, the yo-yo craze used to come in every so often, or the hula hoop craze, and it would come in for a few months and then it would disappear and go again. And these are the sort of people that grab onto something while it's top of the moment, and then it disappears. And there are really serious examples of that in religious terms. We had a young lady in a church in Adelaide who was in, I think she was in year 12, very attractive, very intelligent young girl, and she really got involved with the church. She couldn't get enough of it. She sang with the band. She worship led when she got the opportunity. She joined prayer group and she really seemed to be enthusiastic. And a few months later she went to university. And she hadn't been coming to church for very long, and the next time people saw her, she was dressed in the full headscarf and things. She'd met a young man from Egypt overseas, fallen in love and converted to Islam. Now, you know, I'm not criticising falling in love or even converting to Islam, but what I'm saying is that the great enthusiasm had no root. It was being dragged along by something that she'd found that was new and exciting and addressed some of the questions she had, but it had no root. And as soon as something else significant came along, this girl was drawn in another direction and completely dumped the first thing and went to the second. And we see a lot of that, unfortunately. Sometimes some of the churches that are more exciting in terms of the Hillsong type things, they can be very good, but they can also drag people along without necessarily rooting them down into the principles of the religion, and so it doesn't last for very long. So we've got to be careful in that. Again, no criticism of the way it's done, just a recognition that this is one of the things that can occur, like the seed that falls on the rocky ground. And then we have the seed that fell on the thorny ground, they call it, or the one full of weeds. And what happens there is the weeds actually grow quicker than the seed does, and it gets choked. Now, these people aren't anti-church at all. In fact, they may often be very fully engaged, but I'm just sorry, I'm just so busy. I don't have time to pray, and I have to get to work by 7 a.m. in the morning. I'm working till 9 o'clock at night. I certainly don't have time to read the Bible. And if I did, I'm on so many committees and doing so many good charitable works, I just don't have time anymore to spend a few minutes each day with God. So life crowds them out. Coco Chanel, the great sort of fashion icon, had a saying. She said, "The best things in life are free. The second best things are very expensive." And how that applies here is that these people may be doing good works, but they're the second best things in life. And they're denying these people the opportunity of engaging with the best things, engaging with God through Jesus Christ. And so we have this sort of people that just get too busy with the affairs of the world to be able to thrive and to be able to root their life in something that would be solid and real and give them all the advantages that having the grace of God as part of your life entails. And so we've all seen examples of people who just get too busy for church, and sometimes they've just got to recognise that what their priorities are, because it's pretty easy to be dragged along by all the things you have to do in this world. And then there's the seed that falls on the fertile soil. And I'm going to use a real example with that, but first of all, I have to go back to 1979. The year was 1979, the band was Loaded Dice, the lead singer was Dick Haynes, and I'm willing to bet that in 1979, when Dick Haynes was the lead singer for Loaded Dice, and singing the song, incidentally, was Mademoiselle, he would not have imagined that he would play such a pivotal role in the development of a fledgling new church. That's true. So that's what happens when the seed falls on fertile ground. The ground is prepared by God. We don't know what that is going to produce later on. But you see, when Jenny and I first came to the mustard seed, and Robin had done a wonderful job getting it together, but there were about a dozen people. And they were using it, they were using CDs to play the music every day. And I thought it lacked a certain soul. And then Dick came along and we had more soul, or at least rock and roll, than we could almost handle. I mean, it transformed the Sunday service. And Dick was pivotal in the growth phase of that church that went to the next stage, so we now have 40-odd people worshipping every Sunday. And so that's what happens when seed falls on fertile ground. It's important to recognise that, because that's part of what the parable's all about. The fertile ground comes with the grace of God. It's not about what we do. It's what God has prepared for us. And I think Dick's a great example of that. So there are other parts of the story, though. We've talked about it being a story about the hearer. But it's actually also a story of encouragement to the disciples, because they were going to be the preacher. And what they saw often was Jesus going out preaching, and getting roundly criticised by the hierarchy of the day. They saw people not responding to the message, just like the people, the seed that falls on the hard ground. And they must have been discouraged because they were the next lot to go out. And Jesus was saying, no, because what you want to focus on is the fertile ground, because it is absolutely assured that if the seed falls on fertile ground, it will flourish, because this is the ground that Jesus has prepared for us, and this is where our full potential will be recognised. And it's very interesting, you know, that although that was a thing of encouragement, the preacher also had to know that they may not see the results of the preaching. It may not be an instantaneous thing. And again, if I can draw on an example from this congregation, if you know the story of Bilal, in his early days in Australia, he came across a couple of sort of single Christian evangelists, almost backpacker evangelists, if you like, who sat down and talked to him. And they would never have known that he has now become a valued member of the congregation at the Mustard Seed, a Christian congregation. They just had a chat. They shared what they knew about Jesus with him in those days, and they never saw the fruit that it would bear. But the parable of the sower tells the preacher that they must have confidence that when they preach, that when they help fertilise, if you like, that fertile soil, that it's inevitable that good will come from it. And that's the message we have today. Now, a little bit further on in Matthew 13, in verses 31 to 32, we actually have Jesus talking about the example of the mustard seed. And, you know, I've actually preached on that here before, and it becomes a sort of signature verses for the mustard seed. But in fact, today's reading could be equally as important, because each of you at the mustard seed have fallen on fertile ground. And what that means to each of you is that you're absolutely assured that your talents will be nurtured and that you will have something to contribute to God, to the church, and to your community. And so I think that's an inspiring message from the parable of the sower.